when we ended that Friday night meeting. When we were going to end the meeting, I saw a clear vision, and in the vision, I saw people being handed over trumpets, the trumpets that were made of ram's horn, that the priest blow. So the people who were given those trumpets with like the ram's horn, I saw that they brought that trumpet down with their hand, and then the trumpet was changed into a saxophone. And instead of blowing the ram's horn, they started to play the saxophone and, you know, make movements of their body and of their head, how they play in the bars and the pubs. And when I saw that vision, this is what God told me immediately. And He told me, this is what the Lord said. The trumpet I gave you have turned into a saxophone. So even I, the Lord, will turn your prosperity into poverty. This is a word to those who are called to blow the trumpets, but you are not blowing the trumpets. Blowing the trumpets is warning the people. Blowing the trumpet is the activity or the responsibility of the watchmen who are supposed to warn the people of God when God speaks to them, warns them, alarms them, alerts them, you know, give a call to repentance. Unfortunately, repentance is not a very good word nowadays in the church. They don't want to hear about it, but that is what a trumpet blower does. And God has given that gift to some people, pastors here, evangelists here, but you are not blowing that. Instead, you have turned that trumpet, the instrument of God, the gift of God, into a instrument of entertainment. And you are using the trumpet to entertain people like the saxophone, to entertain people. So this is that word to those people directly, that the trumpet I gave you turned it into a saxophone. So even I, the Lord, will turn your prosperity into poverty. So I want to bring a call. This is direct word of God, but when you hear this word, we need to repent. So yesterday night we were repenting. Even I was repenting when I heard that word, first of all. And before I could tell it to others, if I used your trumpet, Lord, as a saxophone, Lord, forgive me. I never want to use your trumpet as a saxophone. So repent and humble yourself before God so that His judgments can be turned away and His mercy can be your portion. Hallelujah. Okay. So that is the word I wanted to give before we start. And then let's come on the discerning of spirit. So let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Remember, we are on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We are on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 10. To another, the working of miracles. We are done with miracles and we are done everything with everything before that. To another, prophecy. We are done with prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. So, discerning of spirits is a gift. And we are going to look at what is discerning of spirits and how does discerning of spirits operate. So, the gift of the spirit of discernment or discerning of spirits functions on the basis of the knowledge and understanding of the word of God. Number one, the gift of discerning of spirits operates on having the knowledge and understanding of the word of God. That is point number one. That is point number one. I want to make it clear that. Some people say, oh, if we want to get into the realm of the spirit, we need to fast. Or some people say we need to strip ourselves naked and sit in a room and don't eat anything, don't drink anything. Those are rituals. You can get into demonic world. The gateway to get into the realms of the spirit, you know what it is? The gateway to get to see the realities of the realms of the spirit is the word of God. Is the word of God. When you start to get into the the depth of the word of God, when you start to meditate and go deeper into the word of God, the Holy Spirit will take you into the realities of the realms of heaven. The Holy Spirit will take you into the realities, because the word of God was not a theological book. Was not the word of God, the Bible is not a philosophical book. It's not a book which was written on the basis of imaginations. The Bible is written on the basis of the realities of the spirit realm. Everything in the Bible that you read, it's on the basis of the realities. The book of Psalm, when you read, I called upon the name of the Lord and he sent the army of heaven down for me, the angels down for me. It's the reality of prayer. It's the reality when you call upon the name of the Lord. The book of Psalm is saying what happens in the realms of the spirit. When the book of Psalm says, where can I hide from the presence of God? If I go down and make my bed in hell, you are there. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. He is talking about the reality of the presence of God. The presence of God can reach in every realm. And it is talking about the reality of hell. It is talking about the reality of the underworld. It is talking about when you read about Leviathan, when you read about the monsters in the book of Job, it is talking about the realities that human beings don't know, that does not exist in our physical world. Are we understanding, people of God? Hallelujah. So the Bible is based.
Hallelujah.
The book that you read, it's the book that is based on spiritual realities. It's a book that is based on spiritual realities. And I'm telling you, no ritual. People say, okay, you need to, if you want to get into the realm of the spirit, yeah, fasting and praying is that those things are required. But what I want to say to you is, primarily, if you want to get into the realms of God, into the realms of the spirit, into the reality of the spirit, you need to, the gateway is the Bible, is the word of God. Hallelujah. That is the area when you start to discover the spirit realm, when you start to discover the things that happen in the spirit realm, you are taking your step forward to the gift of the discerning of spirits. When you start to see what happens behind the veil of the physical world, when you start to discover what happens the veil beyond what your flesh eyes can see, you are getting into the gift of the discerning of spirits. Are we together? Hallelujah. The gift of the discerning of spirits is functions on first having the knowledge and understanding of the word of God. That is the first thing. If you want to operate in the gift of discerning of spirits, you know, some people say, oh, they are God gifted, but they don't know the word. But they say, oh, my, you know, this person knows, okay, they discern. No, that discernment is not from God. The person who will really discern is the person who knows the word, who knows the revelation of the word. True, are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Because some people say, oh, you know, my husband discerns, you know, he knows that person, he knows this person. Those are intuitions, those are things, those are not from God. The real discernment comes to a person who goes deep into the word of God. Okay? So we have to understand that. That is the first thing I want to make it clear. The gift of discernment functions on the basis of having the knowledge and understanding of the word of God. That is the first point. The second foundation of the gift of discernment is spending long hours with God in the secret place. When you spend time in prayer and fasting with God, that is when you go in the word, in prayer, in the secret place. That is when you go deeper in the gift of discernment. That is when your discernment gift is sharpened. So these are the two foundations on which the gift of discernment can function. So if you want to have the discerning gift, you have to meditate on the word of God. That is the first thing. And the second thing is you have to have a prayer life. You have to have a fasting life, that is spending hours with God in the secret place. Okay, let me start off with the first foundation of the gift of discernment. Are we clear now? The first foundation. So this gift of discernment just does not come. Even if God has given you the gift of discernment, it will start to function to its fullest ability when you know the word, when you meditate on the word. If you don't meditate on the word, your discernment is not happening. Okay, no discernment without knowing the word. No discernment without knowing the word, because you the tool of discernment is right, the word of God itself. What does the Bible say? Hebrews chapter number 4, it says the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing through the division of the soul and the marrow, through the division of the bone and the marrow, and the soul and the spirit, and revealing the thoughts and the intents of man's heart. That is the word that discerns, the word that dissects, the word that brings division between this and this, between the right and wrong, between evil and good. The word is the one which brings discernment. So if you don't at all know the word, how will you function in the gift of discernment? Hallelujah. So many people will not talk about it. And people think it's a gift and anyone can function if they have the gift. No. Even if you have the gift to function, God will lead you into the word for the gift to function accurately and to its fullest ability. First is the word of God. Okay, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 5. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 5. Verse number 14. Hebrews chapter number 5. Verse number 14. Now listen to this. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both evil and good. Let me come again. It says solid food. Solid food is what? The heavy word of God. What I teach here is solid food. It's not milk. Let me start from verse 13. Verse 13 to have some context. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What is milk? Milk is, oh, God is going to give you breakthrough. Oh, Jesus wants to give you this. Oh, how milk are sermons like, oh, you know what, how Jesus took the disciples to the other side. God, Jesus is going to take you to the other side. Those are milk. Those things are milk. Surface revelations. Where the word of God is used to teach to you only what you will get out of it. The benefit you will get out of it. No deep revelations where the word of God will take you deep to show you the evil in your heart, which will sanctify you. Where the word of God will take you deep to understand the witches and wizards in your ancestral line. Where the word of God will take you deep to bring you to the understanding. Oh, the person I was living with was a Satanist. You know, those things, those are solid food. But those who only drink milk are not trained in righteousness, in the word of righteousness. And they are what? Babes. Then it says, verse number 14, but solid food belong to those who are of full age. That means spiritually they are grown up. So there is a spiritual age that heaven gives you. It does not matter. It doesn't matter that what age you are right now. 50. Okay. Sisters Ruth, phone is acting up. In Jesus' mighty name, we cancel every disturbances. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, listen to me now. It does not matter what age you are physically, 40, 50, 60, 70. But there is an age that you have in the realms of the spirit. Maybe you are 60, but in the realms of the spirit, you are 2 years old. So that's why the Bible is saying these are babes. But maybe you are 25, but in the realms of the spirit, you are 70, 80 years old. You are matured. You are experienced. Because you are eating solid food. Are we understanding? Then it says, but solid food belongs to those who are of what? Full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. What is that? Those who eat solid food, who are those people? They are those by reason of use. That means by practice. The reason of use means, if you see other versions of the Bible, it says those who by practice of the use of their senses, spiritual senses, exercise to discern. Exercise to what? To discern both good and evil. Do we see that the Bible talks about discernment related to solid food, to the heavy word of God? Can everyone confess here that I want to eat solid food? Can everyone say, I want to eat solid food. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to eat solid food, amen. Yes, we are going on our way to discernment tonight. We are starting off. So for that, what you need to have is solid food. If you want to eat solid food, you need to prepare your spiritual stomach, the appetite. You need to prepare your spiritual stomach, your appetite for the solid food, so that you can eat solid food. Apostle Paul says to the church of Corinthians, I wanted to feed you with solid food, but you are not prepared. So I had been feeding you with milk, because you have been spiritual babes. You are not yet matured. Hallelujah. I am in ministry from quite a long time. I am in ministry from my age, from the age of 19. At the age of 19, I encountered Jesus Christ. From that time, the Lord gave me the chance to minister. And from that time, I had been into several places. God gave me the opportunity to serve, to do church, to do minister in house groups and house cells. And I have seen people who cannot be fed with solid food. But I knew that God had chosen me to be an apostle from the time I encountered Christ. I knew that was my calling, but it did not came automatically. I did not become an apostle automatically. It took years. It took for me reading the word of God for around 11 to 12 years and serving God wherever he placed me. And I have seen people drinking milk and you cannot give them solid food. But God brought me and gave me this platform where, and my desire was to feed people with solid food. That is my calling. I don't feed with milk. I feed with solid food. And that was my calling. But I have seen people drinking milk. I have seen people in India drinking milk. Most of the churches drink milk. I cannot go in any church and preach these sermons. Do you know that in India? They will not like it. For no rhyme or reason, they will not like it. Why? Because they don't have that appetite. But God chose and God orchestrated this ministry. I don't know. He only brought people from every nation, placed them here, so that they will have discernment, like the sons of Issachar. Because solid food. Hallelujah. Yeah, Pastor John said hallelujah because he knows what I'm saying about India. You cannot feed those churches in India with solid food. They will not be able to take it. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, any which ways, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use, that means by practice of their senses, exercised to discern both good and evil. So the person who is having solid food, the heavy word of God, the depth of the word of God, that person will be able to exercise discernment. Do we see that in the Bible now? That person, so the gift of discernment, as many think, it's not an automatic gift. Oh, this person is gifted in discernment, so he knows what person is what. No, the gift of discernment will only function on the basis of you having solid food. and eating solid food, having the depth of God's word, will you be able to exercise what? Discernment. Now, maybe some of your questions would be, how can I know that, brother, I am eating solid food? How can I know that I am having that appetite of the solid food? Well, there are realms of eating the word of God. There are levels of eating the word of God. There are levels of walking in the word of God. And I want to show you how you would recognize that actually you are walking in the deeper realms of the word of God. I will show you from the scripture so that you may understand. Are you ready? Not only confession, but are you actually eating solid food? Are you actually having the appetite and living by, not by milk, but by solid food, by some chicken tandoori legs, and by with some beef sticks and with some lamb curry? Hallelujah, delicious. Ezekiel chapter number 47, verse number 1 to 5. Ezekiel chapter number 47. Verse number 1 to 5. Ezekiel 47, verse number 1 to 5. Now, hear this. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water. Okay, underline water. And if you have a diary, write down water is the word of God. Write down water signifies the word of God, and then you will understand the vision that Ezekiel had. So it says, verse number 1, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces the east. There was water running out on the right side. So the water is coming from the dwelling place of God. That is the word that comes, that flows from the most holy place, that comes from God. Okay. Then it says he was brought out. Verse number 3. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Okay, so he brought him forward. He took him forward, the angel of God, the man he is talking about. Took him forward. And it says the level of the water rose and what? Came up to the ankles. That is the first level of you receiving the word or eating the word of God. The first level is the level of the ankles. Okay, listen to me. So you are walking in water and the water is up to the ankles. That in that level of your reception of the word of God, you can come out of the realm of the word of God if you want easily. So the word of God is only up to your ankles. So you can step out of that realm. You can come inside the realm. Step out of the realm, come inside the realm of that word. That means that is the first level where people of God, where they read the Bible after hearing a sermon, and then they don't read the Bible at all. They are out of the word, and then they feel the prick or some problem comes in their life and they feel, I again need to read the Bible and follow, walk in the word. So they again read the Bible. And they again meditate on the word and walk in the word for 1 or 2 days. Then they again come out of the word. That is the level of immaturity, the first level, where the water is up to your ankle. So you can bring out your feet easily and step out of the water. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Now, verse number 4. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. What he's doing is, the angel is taking Ezekiel more deeper. Okay, so there was a time in your Christian life where you were out and you were in. You were out, you were in. out of the word, in the word, out of the word, in the word. That means you were drinking milk. Okay? Then when the Lord, when you seek the Lord and the Lord takes you more deeper, the angel of the Lord measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. So he took him more deeper. What happened? The water came up to my knees. The water came up to my knees. So now the water has come up to your knees. You can even now get out of the water, but it will be a little bit difficult for you to get out of the word than earlier when the water was up to your ankles. Hallelujah. When the water was up to your ankles, so it will be a little bit more difficult for you because the water is up to your knees. So you could easily take out your leg and step out. Now, since the water is up to your knees, you have to do a little bit struggle to come out of that water. Then the angel of God, again he measured, verse number 5, 1,000, and it was, okay, sorry, verse number 4, again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to your waist. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Now, this is the realm where you have went more deeper in the realm of the word of God, where the water, imagine you walking in the river where the water is up to your waist and the water is flowing. You will feel a little push. The water will push you. Sometimes you will not be under your on your control. Sometimes your feet will move forward because water is up to your waist and the river is flowing. In comparison to the water which was up to your ankles, you could easily get out of the water. Now, once the water is up to your waist, is where the flesh and the spirit are fighting. Your flesh wants something, your spirit wants something, and you get into that realm where you understand the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Is the water, is the word up to your waist? Hallelujah. People of God, are we understanding? If we're understanding, say amen. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. That is the realms, the levels of you getting matured in the word of God. Now, once the water is up to your waist, it's not, you cannot come out of the water easily. Someone has to pull you out. That and willingly you have to give your hand. So it's difficult for people for them to come out of the word unless they give permission to Satan to pull them out of that realm. Are we understanding? Because you are half under the water and you are feeling the push. You want to stand somewhere, but the flowing water, the river, is pushing you. And since it's up to your waist, there is a struggle between the water and your body. That is where you come to Galatians chapter number 5. Which says that the flesh is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is contrary to the flesh. And there is always a fight between the flesh and the spirit. You feel that fight. You come to Romans chapter number 7, where Apostle Paul says that what I want to do, I cannot do. You know that chapter where he talks about his struggle with the flesh. And he says the flesh leads to sin. The law leads to sin. And all those things. So there is a struggle when it comes up to your waist. Hallelujah. Where I was. Okay, verse number. Verse number 5. Verse number 5. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river. I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Hallelujah. Water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. So the highest level where you can get into the depths of the word is the water becomes a river and completely submerges your body. And then you cannot walk in that river. You have to swim in the river. You have to flow with the flow of the river, where you are not in control. Your mind is not in control. Your intelligence is not in control. Your flesh is not in control. What is leading you, what is controlling you, is the word. Hallelujah. That is where a Christian should realize, that is where a Christian should realize that they are walking and living by solid food. That is where the gift of discernment will start to function.
Amen.
Do we understand that now? That is where the gift of discernment will start to function. When you are in the sub, when you are immersed, you are completely baptized in the Word of God, completely immersed in the Word of God. And it is the flow of the waters. You are not at all in control. So that's how a believer grows. First of all, it's up to the ankles, up to your ankles, where you can come out easily. That's immature believers. And some believers are in that realm even for 50 years sometimes. 50 years, the water is just up to their ankles, because they are not, they are moving. They think, oh, I am getting promotion in my job. I was an associate. Now I am the president. I am the CEO. That means I have progressed. But what have you progressed in the spirit realm, in the realms of word? You are still in ankle level water from 50 years, because they term their position in their occupation as their progress, but they are not able to see the progress that is supposed to happen in the realms of the Word of God. You are still in and out. Oh, you know, I used to earn this much and now I am earning this much. I did not have a car. I did not have a house. Now I have a house. That means I have grown. No, you have not grown. You are still in ankle level water. You are in and out from 30 years of your Christian life. Spiritual progress is where you go deeper in the Word of God and where you come to a place where you cannot cross the river. The river takes you. The flow of the river takes you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? So that is how you know. Come back with me to Hebrews chapter number 5 verse 14. Read that word now. Hebrews chapter number 5 verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use. So Ezekiel had to walk 1,000 cubits, 1,000, whatever the measurement, the 1,000 cubits and then 1,000 cubits. He had to move, go deeper into the water. Reason of use, by practice, by obeying the word, by seeking more of the word of God, of the revelations of God's word, seeking him, spending time with him, obeying his voice. That is where you go to the solid food. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If you are walking in that realm of solid food, if you are walking in that realm of deeper waters, of the depth of the word of God, the devil cannot deceive you, I am telling you. Or no spirit, no demonic force can deceive you, because you have the discernment to exercise good and evil. Hallelujah. Are we together? Now, Matthew's... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew's chapter number 24. You know what it talks about. Jesus is teaching or talking about the great falling away. Jesus is talking about what is going to happen in the end times. And the great falling away is marked by deception, deception, deception. Now, why the deception is coming in Christianity? Why there is a great deception coming in the church? And you see millions are getting deceived. You see pastors, leaders falling away. Why the deception? Because the church is forgetting the word of God. The church is forgetting the first love, because the church is forgetting that they need to eat solid food. So the deception is coming. Now, this is what I want to tell you. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. Deception is the product of lack of discernment, and lack of discernment is the product of wordlessness. Deception is the product of lack of discernment, and lack of discernment is a product of wordlessness. So the root is... The reason why there will be a great falling away is because Christians are going to close their Bible and put it away And they are going to follow after men of God and women of God and prophets and prophecies and miracles and all those things. So they cannot discern where and which source they are receiving things, because they have put away the very Bible and have made the lives of men of God and women of God and prophets and apostles their Bible and not the Word of God. That is going to lead to the great falling away. That is the root of the great falling away. Are we understanding? The great falling away in the body of Christ is coming because of no discerning gift. Because we lack discernment. Why we lack discernment? And there is no discernment because people have stopped meditating on the Word of God. There is no discernment because what? People have stopped meditating on the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew's chapter number 24. Matthew's chapter number 24. Verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Okay, then nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So there is no pestilence first, famine first, or earthquake, or war first. What does the end time signify? What is the sign of the end time? Deception. First thing Jesus says about the end times is, take heed that no one what? Deceives you. People of God, we tonight, I want to tell you that we really need to long for the gift of discerning of spirits. Jesus is saying, if you want to survive the end times, you need the gift of discerning of spirits. You need the gift of discerning of spirits. Get rid of people who will say, oh no, it is God who wants to give the gift. Some people have this gift. You need some gifts in this time and season. I cannot bring an explanation. You need the gift of tongues in this time and season, because we are in spiritual warfare. We are in intense spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Satan has become impatient. You will ask me why he did not become impatient in 1990 or in the 18th century. It's because I want to tell you, the book of Revelation chapter number 12 says, when the woman gave birth to the baby in Revelation chapter number 12, remember that woman who had the moon under the feet and the sun was upon her, and she had a crown of 12 stars. It signifies the apostolic church. When the woman gave birth to the baby, that signifies the apostolic church of Jesus Christ, the remnant body of Christ, giving birth and manifesting the wisdom of God, because Jesus is called the wisdom of God. When they did that, there was a war in the spiritual realms. The old serpent, the great dragon, and his army started, Michael and his army started to fight with the great dragon. That who engaged the warfare, who initiated the warfare? It was the woman who initiated the warfare. So listen to me, when the apostolic church will realize its identity, that the apostolic church of God is called to destroy the satanic kingdom and start to pray against wicked forces, there will be a warfare. We are living in that time where there is a warfare between the angels of God and the fallen angels. So there was a war that was initiated. And after the war, the Bible says, Satan was thrown down on the earth. And then the Bible says, he knew he had a short time. So he started to become impatient. That is the reason why Satan is impatient. Because the church in this time, that you know, we should have discernment of times and season. The age we are living in is the age of warfare. And Christians are warriors and soldiers in God's kingdom, are supposed to be functioning in that identity, in that functionality. That is the season you are living in. But the Christians who don't realize and discern the time and season, they will still tell you, is the season of breakthrough? No, it's not the season of breakthrough. Is the season to receive miracles? No, it's not the season to receive miracles. It's the season to move ahead and fight. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Only one amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Discernment. Discernment. You have to understand that you are a soldier. You are a warrior. You know, I think I shared this once. I was praying and I was asking God about ministry, about things. And he took me to the passage of scripture in the Bible where, you know, Saul was finding his father's donkeys. So he wanted to find his father's donkeys. And then someone told him, there is a prophet there. So he can help you and tell you where the donkeys are. And at the same time, God told Samuel that this guy is coming searching for the father's donkeys that are lost. But you should anoint him as a warrior for my kingdom, as the king who will lead an army. So when Saul went to Samuel and he said, Samuel said, I know why have you come, but you be with me. They had feasted and then he told the secret. This is what the Lord told you. And he was still asking, oh, where are the donkeys? Don't worry about the donkeys. The donkeys are found. But that's not the agenda of our meeting. That's not why you came here. Not because of your donkeys. You came here because God has chosen you to be a warrior. So God told me, people will come in the meeting. People will come to your ministry searching for donkeys. But after they come to you searching for donkeys, they will realize that they are warriors. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So many of you came here searching for donkeys. Ah, I want that. I want this. I heard that this person prays. But when you come, you will realize that God chose you to be a warrior. So this is the season of warfare. How I know that? Because I got the gift of discernment. Discerning. We will come to that. That's the end topic. Discerning times and season. So there are many areas of discernment. But I'm telling you, the serpent of the old, Satan, is impatient because the scripture has come to the fulfillment because he knows that his time is short. He knows that his time is short. So believers need to be on guard. It's not a familiar saying when someone says we are living in the end times. I'm telling you, it's the reality. We are living in the end times. We are going to very, very soon witness the things that are written in Revelation. We are going to very soon witness the mark of the beast. But are Christians prepared for it? Or are they still going around, oh, 2025, it will be year of your breakthrough. Nonsense. Don't consider any year a year of your breakthrough. Look into warfare. Look into warfare. Hallelujah. So, Matthew chapter number 24, Jesus says, verse number 4, take heed that no one deceives you. The end times is marked with deception. How can we overcome deception? It's by discernment. How can we have discernment? It's by the word of God. It's by the understanding of the scriptures. Another verse. There are many things written here, so I will not go into that. We don't have time. The same chapter, Matthew 24, verse number 24. Matthew's chapter number 24, verse number 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You are the elect? Yes, even you can be deceived. Such great signs and wonders. I already took the teaching on that when I was taking the gift of the working of miracles. Remember? I told you the miracles that the beast will perform. Many Christians will start to follow the beast after looking at those miracles. the way the beast will get the Christians into having the mark of the beast is by showing them miracles. There is a miracle ministry, demonic miracle ministry the beast will have. If you don't have discernment, I told you the definitions of a false miracle, false sign and wonder. If you don't understand the word of God, how will you be able to discern that the things they are, the supernatural things they are doing are false? If you don't have discernment, how you will recognize that the signs and wonders which are done is by the Antichrist and not by God? How will you discern? You need to have discernment. So that's why I am saying the things like the gift of prophecy, the gift of discernment, gift of speaking in tongues are for this time and season, where I pray that every believer might prophesy. That was the prayer of Moses. I pray that every believer will speak in tongues, that they may understand the requirement of tongues. Tongues is needed in spiritual warfare. If you want to fight with demonic forces, you need the gift of tongues. If you want to fight with principalities, you need the gift of tongues. Many high-ranking Satanists have confessed that when the children of God pray in tongues, they cannot handle it. High-ranking Satanists have confessed. It's a fact. They don't understand what we are doing. Hallelujah. They have confessed that. Hallelujah. So the church needs to pray in tongue. And the 120, we will come to the gift of tongues. Let's see. But the 120 people who through whom God started the early church all prayed in tongues. Hallelujah. But you might say they prayed in earthly tongues, languages. There are different kinds of tongues when you read your Bible. There are earthly tongues, there are heavenly tongues. There are different kinds of tongues. Hallelujah. Okay, are we understanding that? So Jesus is saying there will be deception, and we are living in that age of deception. There was not such a kind of deception as we are facing in the church today. More than true preachers, if you want to find a true apostle, it's like you going in the ocean and trying to find a pearl. They are very few, very few, very few. But there is a crowd of sorcerers and soothsayers who call themselves prophets. So the church is confused. And who did that? The devil did this. The devil did this confusion. And what does that signify? It signifies Babylon entering the church. Babylon taking over the church. Babylon merchandising the church and the activities of the church. It signifies mammon taking over the church. Any which ways, I have already taught about those things. So deception is the product of the lack of discernment, and lack of discernment is a product of wordlessness. Let's go now to the next area, to the next aspect of discernment. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 19. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 19. For I know, hallelujah, hold on. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 44, verse number 23. Ezekiel chapter number 44. Verse number 23. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Who will teach? The priests. They will teach, the priest will teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. So, the gift of discernment is nurtured or developed through the teaching ministry. The gift of discernment is developed or nurtured through the what? Teaching ministry. Hallelujah. Now, pastors are teachers. Pastors are supposed to teach the church. Apostles are teachers of mystery. Apostle Paul said, I am a steward. Like John was a teacher of prophetic revelation. Paul was a teacher of mysteries. Hallelujah. Peter was an evangelical teacher. Wherever he went, he used to catch the fish, the human fishes. That was the anointing. That was the area of his apostolic calling. Because Jesus told him that, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So whenever there has to be a preaching of the gospel, teaching of, so the on in the book of Acts, the sermon that won 3,000 souls was preached by Peter. In the house of Cornelius, the sermon that won the house of Cornelius to Christ, the sermon was taught by Peter. So he was the teacher of the gospel. John was the teacher of prophetic revelation. Paul was the teacher of deep mysteries. The teaching gift, the teaching ministry is the one which will nurture and develop your gift of discernment. So believers need to ask God and only be under voices, under teaching ministries, under pastors, who will do what? Who will teach them the difference between the holy and the unholy and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. So what I want to say from the scripture, I'm saying it from the scripture. I want to say that pastors who don't teach the difference between the holy and the unholy, who don't teach the division or the discernment between the clean and the unclean, believers are not supposed to hear that voice. Are we together? Hallelujah. If you hear, amen. If you hear pastors, now there are so many of them. In my nation, there are so many of them. There is a pastor, there are pastors with the mega churches. They have, in their church, they have big frames, not of Bible scriptures. The frames are having quotes created by the pastor. And the frames say, don't talk about sin. Don't point out anyone's sin. The frames say, always appreciate people and speak good about everyone. This is what the frames in their churches say. So the pastor says, I am not called to talk about sin. I am just called to encourage people. You are not a pastor. You are an inspirational speaker. You cannot be a pastor because the Bible says they should teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy. Difference between the clean and the unclean. Are you understanding? If you are not under a teaching ministry that teaches the difference between the holy and the unholy, that teaches you to dissect, this is demonic and this is from God. This is of the world. This is of God. If they are not teaching that, you will be a blind Christian. You will never be you will never be able to discern. You will never be able to discern. That's the reason why multitudes of Christians are blind. You speak to them some things. Oh, these are fairy tales. These are not true. They cannot take it because they are under pastors. They are under teaching ministries who do not teach them to discern, who do not teach them to differentiate. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Discernment. Yes. Hallelujah. I want to tell, you know, I am not encouraging. I am not telling you leave this pastor. I never talk like that. But I am talking from the scripture. If you want discernment, you need to be under a pastor, under the teaching ministry who will teach you what? difference between the holy and the unholy. Why does God is commanding the priest, the teachers, the pastors to do that? Why does God command? Because of the age we are living in, because of what the devil will do. Because the devil, one of the strategy of the devil is to reverse everything, to put this year and to put that year, is to reverse everything. Hallelujah. That is one of the strategy of the devil. Now, before I go into that, I want to tell you, discernment is to dissect or bring a division or differentiate between the holy and the profane, and the clean and the unclean. Okay, what is discernment? Discernment is to dissect or to bring a division or differentiate between the holy and the profane, and the clean and the unclean. So that is discernment, where you are able to discern, this is of God, this is not of God, this is holy, this is unholy. And how you will be able to do that when you are hearing the right voice that is teaching you discernment. Your discernment gift will be nurtured. Hallelujah. Your discernment gift will be nurtured. Find out a voice from the Holy Spirit. Find out a voice from God who is able to nurture your gift of discernment. That is what Hebrews chapter number 4 verse number 12 says. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Is able to make people love everyone? No. Is able to dissect, divide the bone and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, revealing the thoughts and intents of man's heart, exposing things that are hidden. That is what the word of God does. Hallelujah. Are we together? The reason why we need to learn the division or differentiation between the holy and the unholy, because the devil wants to reverse everything. The devil wants to reverse everything. Everything in the demonic kingdom is reversed. There are songs that are reverse song. If you reverse those songs and play those songs, you will see that those lyrics are worshipping the devil. Some songs are satanic songs. Like Michael Jackson, he used to do a moonwalk. What is it? He's paying homage to a deity that is the moon god. And he walks backwards. That is a demonic dance. Some pastors come on the stage and they play praise songs and they do moonwalk. Don't do that kind of dance. That is a reversal walk. That is a demonic walk that they do. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Everything in the demonic kingdom is reversed, is inverted. The inverted cross is the satanic cross. It's upside down, satanic. So the devil likes to reverse everything. The devil likes to invert everything. He wants to reverse everything. So if you don't know the difference between the holy and the unholy, you will start to call the unholy holy and the holy unholy. That is what is going to happen. And that is what the Bible talks about. Isaiah chapter number 5. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 5. If you are there until now, people of God, can you shout amen? Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Listen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is demonic doctrine. Where these things are coming from? It is coming from demons. It is coming from seducing spirits. Do you know nowadays in the Western countries, in churches, it's evil to call out sin. It's becoming evil to talk about sin. It's becoming evil to call evil evil. It's already happening in the churches. It's already happening. The pastors, the priests, the Methodist churches, not only the mainline churches, the Methodist church, and most of the mainline churches, the Catholic church is already there, but even the other churches, the person who is coming and saying My pronouns are this and that, and I am this, I am this. Those are the pastors leading the churches, leading so many people. Where they are going to hell, what they are doing, they are calling evil good and good evil. If someone says that this is not from God, what you are doing, the things you are doing, they will say you are evil. They are reversing everything in the church. They are inverting everything in the church. That's the demonic doctrine. And that's why the great falling away is coming, because everything is reversed. Everything is inverted. They will call good evil and evil good. They will call light darkness and darkness light. You see in the course of 10 years how things change in the nations. Because the Antichrist who is coming, before he comes, he will program everyone's mind to accept new laws. There will be a great reset in the nations of the world, and Christians are not even aware of it. What great reset? Laws will be changed. You cannot call evil evil. You cannot call good good. People will they will bring laws that will give benefit to people who call evil good and good evil. Because that is what Antichrist will do. Let me show you that. Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel chapter number 7. And verse number 25. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter number 7. Verse number 25. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hallelujah. If you are the saint of the Most High God, you know what will be given to you? You will be given authority over kingdom. So wait and be patient and walk faithfully and endure till the end. Your reward shall be great. Because the Antichrist will come for some time. And what it says there is, he shall intend to change what? Times and laws. You are seeing that right in front of your eyes. Laws are getting changed. Bills are getting passed. I don't want to talk about those bills. And you will see similar things happening in all the nations. It started off from 2019, from when you know that day when I was praying in tongues, I think last meeting, again the Zoom started to send me messages and started to again ask me, which language are you talking in? We cannot, our AI intelligence cannot detect your language. So everything has been, hallelujah, but I am not afraid, because I belong to the system of God. I belong to the apostolic church of God, to the system of God. And I know the army I am in is going to win in Jesus' mighty name. The army I am in is going to crush the head of serpent. So don't be afraid of things. But you have to understand that times and laws are going to be changed. But pastors who are under a signed pact, I was going through a documentary, and in that documentary, they were talking about mega churches who don't pay tax to the government because they are registered in the government. They don't pay taxes. The pastors are having a lot of money, but the pastors are exempted. The government never goes to the pastor and asks them for taxes. And they were exposing things, and they were saying when they registered their churches, they signed a pact with the beast system. And in the coming days, whatever the beast will tell them, that is the thing the pastors will preach. And the pastors are going to bring out verses out of context and tell you, submit to the authorities. Listen to what they are saying. I know a demonic pastor who had an agreement with Satan, passed away. God took him out, who came in the church and told them, everyone go and take whatever was introduced because of the pandemic that came. Go and take it, go and take it, go and take it, go and take it. God is not speaking that. The organization that is giving them money, they are speaking that. And they have to tell those things. And they will come and tell you, you know what, the Bible says, obey the authorities, and then they will make you. Because they have come a long way with the devil now. So if they cancel the pact with the devil, they will lose everything. Because they don't want to lose everything, they will continue with Babylon. They will continue with Babylon. And they will never teach you. They will never teach you to discern between the holy and unholy, to discern between the evil and good. They will never teach you, because they have sold themselves to the beast system. He is going to change laws. He is going to intend to change times and laws. I don't want to go in detail into Daniel chapter. Afterwards, read Daniel chapter number 7. It's about the Antichrist. So, but it says his dominion shall be taken away, because the saints of God, along with Jesus Christ, we are going to rule. All dominions, all kingdoms shall be of Jesus Christ. And we are into that warfare. And for that warfare, you need to have discernment. You need to have discernment. Let me end here. Hallelujah. There are other aspects of discernment that we will go into afterwards. But let's cry out to God for discernment. And the foundation of the gift of discernment is the Bible, is the Word of God. The development of the gift of discernment is through the teaching ministry. So tonight, what I want to encourage people is to read your Bible, meditate on the Bible, and hear God from the Scripture. Hear God from the Scripture. Secondly, what I want to encourage you is, I'm not saying to you, oh, be under me, but I'm saying to you, recognize the right voice that teaches the difference between the holy and the unholy, and only listen to those voices. Don't listen to voices who don't teach or who don't preach the difference between the holy and the unholy. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this time. Rabasataka rabata. Rabana, let's pray in the spirit for a few minutes. Rabala toyo rosakatabana. E pralato rasavanda karaziata ravandro fosete. E fral zarafanda ravanziandra balabandrobo. Oh Lord, the Bible says, your word says, Father, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against the flood, against the enemy. In the name of Jesus, in this place, I ask you, Holy Spirit, raise up the standard, O Father. Raise up the standard against the flood of deception. Raise up, Lord, your people against the flood of deception. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. O Rafra Zakataraba, Lord, I ask you that you, Holy Spirit, usher like the angel of God, took Ezekiel more and more deeper into the realms of the water. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, take your people more and more deeper into the realms of water. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as your people are hearing the word of God, Father, let them disconnect from every Babylonian voices. Lord, let them disconnect from every demonic voices. The Bible says that one person wanted to get healed, I think in Chorazin, or somewhere in Bethsaida, I forgot. And the Bible says Jesus took him outside the city limits. Jesus took him outside the city limits and laid hands and healed him that he could see. And his eyes opened up first to see the men walking like trees. That means his eyes open up to see the spirit realm. Because men are looking like trees in the spirit realm, and then he could see physically the second time. What I want to tell you, beloved, that as long as you are in the gathering of some people, you will be blind for you to see, for you to discern. You have to come out of that gathering. You have to disconnect from that city. You have to disconnect from those people. You have to disconnect from so-called church. Oh, you are blind because you are among them. And the Bible says, come out of Babylon. Babylon, be a separate from them, so that I will be your God and you will be my people. Oh, hallelujah, so that God could lead you. As long as Terah, the father of Abraham, was alive, Abraham could not walk with God. It is the day that the father Terah died, Genesis chapter number 12 started, and the Bible says Abraham started to walk with God. As long as some people are controlling you, you will not be able to discern. You will not be able to see. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for disconnection in Jesus' name. I pray for separation in Jesus' name. I pray that the true church will come out of Babylon in Jesus' mighty name. I pray that the true remnant will come out of Babylon in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, people, let's pray. Let's pray. Intercessors, join with me. Hallelujah. We call in the remnant from the nations of the earth. Many are in bondage. Many are in Babylon. We call them in the name of Jesus out of Babylon. Many in India, many in Pakistan, many in USA, in Bahamas. Oh God, in Guyana, Lord, in Africa, Lord, in Australia, Lord, in the European countries, Lord. Many are in the Babylon. Bring them out in the name of Jesus. Deliver them from the hold of demonic Babylon. In the mighty name of Jesus, that they will be taught the difference. Parikapar, e parbadoni andara sekata. Anyone here who recognize they are in Babylon, who want to come out, I pull you out by the name of Jesus Christ, out of those gatherings, that you will be able to see tonight. Oh, rakata rabala katarabando, prando popo rosso boloko rababa, ebra la darabando rossebana, emprando korabaraba, e zekabaya labado, e darasata rabana kashabadaraba, e fratarabo zeterebende, e branto boro sokodorobo, me daraya torabando. Marra ladro contre bende rebase e paluda balabania e balate rabali che deberia e borotti ambrabando rossede rebende e papoto rastido ramanda e paramanda rabala halzi antaraba labadarabolo holdri antaraba. I see in the realms of the spirit, God is dislodging high places. God is dislodging high places in the name of Jesus Christ. I see the top of pyramids being dislodged in the name of Jesus Christ. I see Egyptian strongholds be dislodged in the name of Jesus Christ. Ah, proto rosete rebe. God is releasing deliverance here. God is releasing deliverance. Oh, bringing out people here in this place. Ah, prando popo. E pabaradoro bodoro. E takabaya maula. E baliatala. E lahadaniana. E sidaya bando. E paladora batora valdia. E paruta rasi tarabanda. E prando cosa fadaraba. Hallelujah. Rasi tarabando. Prando corasi tarabaya. Oh, Razika Darabo, Bene Kabana, do you do? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence, Lord. Empower your people with the gift of discernment, discerning of spirits, Father, discerning of spirits. I want to, Lord, praise you, Father, that you are raising up an army of the faithful, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to destroy demonic systems, Father, to bring your kingdom, Lord, and your dominion over all the dominions, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let people rise to authority. Let every person understand their identity. Their identity is not a baby. Their identity is not something else but a warrior in the kingdom of God, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we want to give you praise, honor, and glory for this time. I cover your people. I cover their families, even those who are not able to make it, with the fire, with the walls of fire, with the blood of Jesus Christ all around them, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let Christians here who are sitting here rise up to destroy the stronghold of the witches in their city, in their villages. Let their prayers destroy, Lord, strongholds of Satanists in their cities and villages, Lord. Let their prayer, Lord, bring fire and destroy, Lord, the camps of the enemy. Confuse them, Lord. Let us be impactful, not in the flesh, but in the realms of the spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you the praise, give you the honor, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's shout amen and give a clap offering to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. We will meet again Friday, Saturday, Sunday.